like to look at the 23rd Psalm. We see that David, in the first verse, takes the position of a sheep, and we've seen that that is position of assurance. That's obvious from "The Lord is my shepherd." There's assurance. And if we're going to live life in Psalm 23, there must be that assurance of salvation. We see also it's a position that he takes as a recipient of God's grace. To be a sheep of the Lord's, of course, requires grace. So once again, if we're going to live this life, we must realize that we are a recipient and continue to be a recipient of God's grace. And we saw last week that it's a position of need. When you consider the characteristics of a sheep, you see that it is a position of need. They are not very intelligent. They're basically helpless. They have very poor eyesight. They are directionless. Therefore, they have a tendency to become lost and they wander. They have very self-destructive habits. They have many enemies, basically defenseless before their enemies. They're easily frightened, very easily disturbed. Very easily they become restless, and they get exhausted and worn down. All very descriptive of characteristics of you and I. And they are very prone to disease. So we see they're an extremely weak creature. They're very needy creature. The Lord speaks of lost sheep. The Lord speaks of scattered sheep and wandering sheep and stray sheep, all of which, of course, portray a need, a needy creature. And therefore, the psalmist David, the same one who said, "The Lord is my shepherd," said in Psalm 40, verse 17, Psalm 70, verse 5, Psalm 86, verse 1, Psalm 109, verse 22, "I am poor and needy." So he takes a position of a needy individual, which leads us to the next point, taking the position of the sheep. He takes a position of humility. And again, we're not going to serve God, and we're not going to live the life that we could without humility. And again, when the Lord makes reference to his people, he does not use the analogy of a ram or a horse, but he uses the analogy of a sheep. And there's nothing proud about a sheep. Again, they're extremely dependent. They're extremely reliant upon the watchful care of the shepherd. It's a position of humility. And this is the position that David takes. It's also a position of contentment. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Being humble, he is content. Proud people will not be content. Takes humility to have contentment. "But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. There's an inward satisfaction in those words, expressed in those words, "I shall not want." And then the inward satisfaction is, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with his position as a shepherd, and I'm satisfied with my position as a sheep. So it is, he takes a position of contentment. And again, if we're content, we're not as prone to wander. We're not as prone to go astray. We wander when we're looking for something more, when we're not paying attention. So when we have this humility, when we have this contentment, we're not as prone to wander. And we see all through the Word of God that God commends this spirit of contentment. It's something that God takes delight in. It's not something that we are by nature. It's something that the Lord makes us in. It's a process of time. You don't just wake up content. It's a process. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 16, we see this spirit of contentment. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In the book of Luke, chapter 3, book of Luke, chapter 3, and verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content." And be content. Be satisfied. What shall we do? Be content. Be satisfied. And certainly God's people ought to be satisfied with, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack, nor shall I want any other shepherd. I am content with the Lord as shepherd. I am content with his care. I am content to be a part of his fold." We need that contentment. When David speaks there in verse 1, it's a realization and it's a confession that there's nothing better. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing better than that. So we need to be content with that. I shall not want. Notice Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar verse. Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now notice, if you just take, "For I have learned to be content." Well, that's very good. Contentment is something that we learn. Again, it's not something that we're born with. It's not something that we're even prone to. It's something that we learn, which again speaks of a process of time. And he speaks of this degree. He says, "I've learned to be content." But he speaks of the degree of this contentment. "In whatsoever state I am, I have learned to be content." Whatsoever state I am. Now, that includes everything. And he says, "I've learned not just to be content, but there's the degree of it." And again, it goes over a process of time. Consider all the trials, all the persecutions that Paul endured, and all of this was teaching him to be content. So contentment is something that we learn, and that just like with anything else that you learn, you have to learn other things as well. It includes many, many, many lessons in order to learn contentment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 8, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness, that's inward. Godliness with contentment. The two tend to go together, but it's great gain. And then he reasons this out in verse 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain." Now, a lot of people haven't come to realize this yet. "It is certain that it is certain we can carry nothing out. And then he makes application or makes a statement again, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith. That is, with food and raiment. Food and raiment. Doesn't say what kind of food. Doesn't even say what kind of raiment. It just says with food and raiment, let us be content. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, that is your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And then he gives a reason. And the reason is in God. Just like in Psalm 23, I shall not want, and the reason is in God. The Lord is my shepherd. But the reason here is, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And it's that promise that gives us the boldness to say, the Lord is my helper. The assurance, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, because of this, I shall not want, he takes the position of contentment. Again, there's nothing greater than the Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord uses the idea in several places in the Word of God of being without a shepherd has a very bad thing. Has a very sad state of affairs. But David was not without a shepherd, nor are we. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want any other. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. But notice in Numbers chapter 27, Numbers chapter 27, verse 17, which may go out before them, and which go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, and the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. Sheep that have no shepherd. That's a very sad state. Again, when you go back and consider the characteristics of sheep, they're directionless. Where are they going to go? They're going to get lost. Without a shepherd, they're going to get lost. They're going to go astray. They're defenseless. Without a shepherd, they're going to be destroyed. So this paints a very sad picture. But the psalmist says, I'm not without a shepherd. I have a shepherd. So he's very content with that. In 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. He's speaking of their sad state of affairs. He says they're scattered. And there has sheep without a shepherd. What happens to sheep without a shepherd? They scatter. But not only that, again, these sheep are going to be destroyed. It's not if, it's just a matter of when. They will be destroyed. They will be attacked and devoured without a shepherd. But again, this David says, I'm not without a shepherd. Therefore, I'm very content that I have a shepherd, that the Lord is my shepherd. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 16. Once again, we see sheep without a shepherd. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. So once again, it's a very sad state. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. Ezekiel 34, verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So sheep without a shepherd is a very sad picture. But the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. He takes the position of contentment. He has an inner satisfaction with the Lord as a shepherd. But it's also, he takes the position, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's taking the position of the sheep. He's taking a position of property. He's not his own. He belongs to someone else. And again, this is the position that we must take if we're going to live the life of Psalm 23. For all those who say, it's my life, I can do with it whatever I please. First of all, that's not correct. Secondly, it displays a spirit, displays an attitude. It is the manifestation of an attitude of rebellion. But we must come to the realization that I am the property of the shepherd. I belong to the shepherd. And we see all through the Word of God that these sheep are property. Notice in Psalm 79, Psalm 79 and verse 13. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture. Sheep of thy pasture. Here we go with contentment again. Thy pasture. Is there a better pasture anywhere? No. Never. Never. Doesn't matter what the situation is. There is never a better pasture than his pasture. We are his sheep, and we belong to his pasture. Psalm 95, verse 7. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. This also speaks not only of property, but it speaks of privilege. To belong to his pasture is a position of privilege. And he goes on to say, and the sheep of his hand. And then it closes with, today if you will hear his voice. And what do the sheep do? In John chapter 10, they hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. But again, it's a position of being in his pasture. We're his property. We're the sheep of his hand. It's a position of privilege. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. That's something that everyone needs to know. Very few know. It is he that made us. That hath made us, and not we ourselves. Know that the Lord is God. It is he, and not ourselves. Those are very important lessons to learn. But then notice, we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And the sheep of his pasture. Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 and verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Whether it be in life, whether it be in death, doesn't really matter. We are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 tells us that we are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. Sheep are property. And therefore, the Lord over and over refers to his sheep as my sheep. He doesn't just refer to them as sheep. He refers to them as my sheep. That's very comforting to think that the Lord looks upon us and says, my sheep. My sheep. That's mine. Ezekiel 34, verse 6. My sheep wandered through the mountains. Ezekiel 34, verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. My sheep. Notice in John chapter 10, Jesus is doing the speaking. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So twice he refers in that verse to sheep as his. My sheep and they are mine. They're mine. They belong to me. We see also in verse 26 and verse 27, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 21, verses 16 and 17, he refers to my sheep, my lambs. So again, sheep are objects of property. And in John 10, verse 16, he's been speaking of a particular fold of sheep, and then he says, and other sheep I have. It's not just other sheep, but other sheep I have. That is, this fold right here is not the only sheep that I have. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them, that is, these other sheep that I have, also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he takes the position, I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. I am the property of the Lord. Now, if you borrow something from somebody, hopefully you're very careful with that. You realize this is not mine. I do not want to break this. I do not want to lose this. I don't want to mar this in any way. This is not my property. We need to take that same attitude concerning our lives. I am not my own property. I am the property of God. Therefore, I do not want to mar this property. I do not want to defile this property. And on we can go. And people say, it's my body. I can do with what. But it's not your body. You're building a case on a wrong premise. That it belongs to you, and it doesn't. And that's true whether you're saved or lost. By creation, you do not belong to yourself. You belong to the Creator. And then, of course, we that are saved by creation, by redemption, we belong to Him. We are His possession. And we'll stop there. We'll see next week how it is that we've become His possession. But this is a position. If we're going to live this life, and again, it goes back to contentment, humility. A humble individual has no problem saying, I belong to the Lord. It's that proud individual. It's my life. It's my time. It's my body. That's pride. It's foolishness. But I belong to the Lord. And we can't think of anybody, because there isn't, that would be a better master, than a better owner than the Lord. And therefore, we ought to be content with just belonging to Him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, and Your mercy, and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for all the love that You show us every single day and Your long suffering. Lord, we thank You so much that we belong to Thee, that we are under Your care. Help us, Lord, to be content with simply being under Your care, being in Your hand. Lord, we do pray that You'd help us today to worship You in a way that would bring honor and glory to Your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.